Next, we'll report on what you might call the fraternity of the suicide bomber. Afghanistan has suffered at least 110 suicide attacks this year alone. There's plenty of dispute about who the attackers are, but many have something in common. And that common link became clear to an Afghan doctor who conducts the autopsies. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson has the story from Kabul.
In his classroom at Kabul Medical University, Dr. Yusuf Yodgari keeps the eyeball of a suicide bomber in a glass jar. Attached to the eye is a tumor that Yodgari says left the attacker partially blind. It is one of many ailments the Afghan pathologist says he's found while autopsying remains of bombers who carried out attacks in Kabul over the past 3 years. Some were missing limbs before the blasts. Others suffered from cancer. One even had leprosy. Based on such autopsies, Yodgari estimates at least 3 of every 5 bombers suffer from a physical ailment or disability. He says if you add in mental illnesses, the number of sick and disabled bombers climbs to more than 80%.
They are probably resentful because in Afghan society they are outcasts. They hold a grudge because many of them can't get a job. So to make money for their families, they agree to become suicide bombers.
Yodgari says guessing the bomber's motivation is easy. Identifying who they are is a lot tougher. Police here say the bombers never carry identification and their remains are rarely claimed. Christine Fair, who co-authored a United Nations report released in September on Afghanistan's suicide attacks, says there are other factors that make it difficult to figure out who the bombers are. She says, for one, Afghan investigations into suicide bombings leave a lot to be desired. Afghan General Nazar Mohammad Nikzad, who heads crime scene investigations here, agrees. He complains that by the time his team is permitted to enter the scene, evidence has often been trampled or removed, sometimes by Western soldiers. Fair says another obstacle is that Afghan suicide bombers aren't celebrated like Arab ones often are. Afghan bombers aren't featured on posters or in videos as martyrs, nor are their remains carried through town in raucous funeral parades.
Many parents don't even seem to know that their child or their relative blew himself up in this act.
Fair says there's another difference between bombers in Afghanistan and other countries. Here, a bomber kills an average of 3 victims compared to the average of 12 elsewhere. Fair also says UN interviews with would-be bombers here found most are young and poorly educated.
So the good news is that, you know, they're not as lethal as they are in other theaters. The bad news is it's not really clear what it would take to get the campaign of suicide attacks to abate.
University student Qais Baraksai believes there's nothing that could have stopped his friend from blowing himself up 2 years ago in Kabul. Baraksai says his friend, Qari Sami, was a brooding loner who was upset over the Taliban's ouster. Baraksai says his friend grew a Taliban-style beard and wore traditional baggy tunics and trousers, shunning the Western jeans and shirts preferred by other university students.
He was depressed. He would fight with people. He was emotional, especially when it came to religious issues.
Baraksai says Qari Sami took antidepressants daily, but they failed to lift his mood. Baraksai says his friend talked of joining the Taliban in waging holy war or jihad after graduation, but he says Qari Sami never told him he'd been recruited as a suicide bomber. In May 2005, Qari Sami walked into the Park Internet Cafe and blew himself up. He killed a UN worker from Myanmar and an Afghan customer and wounded 5 others. Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Kabul.
NPR's Najib Sharifi contributed to that report.